Schöne Eva.
No, okay.
Good evening, everybody. Mazel tov. How do you say? She's cool. I'm so. Bitov is only bitov. Shlavavinu l'gadol l'torah ul'chupa ul'masim tovim.
Amen. Amen.
Parashat Vayigash.
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 Okay.
Vayigash shel Av Yehuda. Vayomer. Bi Adoni. ידבר נא עבדך דבר באוזני אדוני, ועל יחר אפך בעבדך, כי חמוך כפרעו. And this week parasha, we are coming to this great meeting between Yosef and his brothers.
Yaakov.
Yosef and his brothers, and then Yaakov goes down to Egypt, and the story is very interesting, of course, and it looks like a happy end, but is it really a happy end, or is it something else? And the real truth is that it's a very, let's say, hard time for the brothers. That for all those years, they were sure that they are righteous, they are tzaddikim, and they did the right thing of selling Joseph to Egypt. And now, he stands in front of them. And not only standing in front of them, they bow to him.
And they were told.
And he wears a clothes of a king. And that's exactly...
That was his dream.
Yeah. The dreams that he dreamt years ago.
And they recognize him.
They don't recognize him. And that's the big question.
Yeah.
How is it possible that after all the signs, they don't recognize him? And it's a big lesson for us. Because in life, sometimes, something can stand in front of our eyes, but we don't see it, or we don't want to see it. Because if we see it, and understand it, it means we have to change things in our life. Or, even worse, that it makes us understand that all the things we did till now are a big mistake. Which is a terrible thing. To suddenly, in the middle of your life, to realize that you're living in mistake.
And you've got to you're in the wrong way. Your ways.
And you have to change. So, let's look for a minute and understand. We're talking about they didn't recognize. What do you want after so many years? How can they? How can they recognize him?
But he looks like his father.
Ruach ha'Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam she'akol nia
bidvaro.
Amen. But he apparently looked like it, just like his father.
Okay.
That's right.
He looks like his father, so let's say because
so
he was...
that's how they...
You know, sometimes... Sometimes you see somebody... You see somebody... that is fully dressed, or you see him, let's say, in on the beach, and you don't recognize the two persons because
you're not used to seeing him
in that garb,
at the beach, or you don't used to see him in the street or whatever. And here, maybe because he wears those clothes, maybe there is an option, you know, with all the clothes and everything, that they don't recognize him.
They don't associate him with that.
It's the last thing that they thought that they'd see.
And they thought he was dead, so it didn't.
Okay.
You know,
I go to my bank and I see the bankman. And the other day I saw him in the street.
That's what I'm saying.
And you
that
you
sometimes
don't know who
you
he
were
is.
And he recognized me.
But of course he's not your brother.
It's not good for him.
Not only is not your brother, it doesn't look like somebody familiar to you. Let's say for a female, like in a way that you talk about your father. In other words, Yosef looks exactly like his father. Okay, but let's say we solve this problem. Okay. Then let's go.
But I
back.
Don't agree with what you said about that they felt that what they did was right. I think that you, that Yehuda, I think, He didn't feel that what he did was right. I think he was safe.
They had it.
Do you think for a minute that those brothers were really thinking that they're doing something evil?
I don't think Yehuda felt that he was doing something right. Uvda, because afterwards when they see him and they meet with him, you know, they're very upset and they feel like we're sorry we did this or that kind of thing. Usually, I'm coming in.
Ever, how many years did it take before he came?
22.
22 years. How I'm could they sure live with they, what they did? What was their life like?
If you think, they were, first of all, let's go back to what they thought Joseph is. I don't know if you remember, we were talking about it. They were looking backwards and they saw that from Avram, from all the children, was one chosen. From Yitzhak, was
no
one
doubt
chosen.
They were
one minute,
jealous.
One minute. Not jealous. It's much more than this. Because we're talking about, don't forget for a minute, that we're talking about the 12 tribes. We're not talking about just people from the street that would think of doing something evil. That means that they are killing somebody because they envy him, because they're jealous of him. That's the reason that Judah, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Binyamin, I mean, they will kill somebody. They wanted to kill him.
It's their brother and they...
Why? Because they were sure that her brother is Esau. What was happening till now? Let's go back again. Avram is got Ishmael and a lot of other kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One is only chosen, Yitzhak. Then Yitzhak has got two kids. How many are chosen?
One.
And nevertheless, look what's happening. Yitzhak thinks that Esau is the one because he wants to bless Esau. Then Yaakov has to trick him in order to take the blessing. And let's say now his children realize that the same story is happening again. And their duty is to do what the father did. To make sure that he's not doing the same mistake that Yitzhak, their grandfather, almost did. Blessing Esau and giving him, let's say, the lead.
So they're comparing Yosef to Esau?
Yes. Because why? Because they see, what is he doing? He's going to his father and he's telling him about things they do. He is an arrogant guy. He walks around and combs his hair all the time and looks how nice he looks. He is living in the house with his father while they are working in the field. And all the signs are that this guy
is going to be the chosen.
He is being chosen by his father, but he's not the chosen one because he's not suitable for the job. Because he's got those strange dreams that he's going to rule, that he's going to control everybody, not only this. Even his father and mother will bow to him. That's his dream.
Wasn't he the chosen?
So from the point of he was, but
so
in a certain way. But that's exactly the point. The brother was sure that if he is going to take the lead, everything is finished the same way. Could you imagine that Esau will get the lead? And that's the reason.
But they're horrible brothers. I would not.
It's not so simple. It's not so simple. We wish it was so simple. Because you have to understand, when we look at the story, we have to dig in and understand what is it trying to tell us. The problem here was that this guy with all the dreams, they didn't talk with him. They didn't have any contact with him.
Okay.
And if you look, lo yachlu ledabro leshalom, they couldn't speak with him. You know when they started speaking with him?
No.
Only after he reveals himself to them.
Well, that's what I mean.
No, we'll see something. I just this week saw it and I couldn't believe it. It's unbelievable. This whole episode. When he's telling them, I am Joseph, is my father still alive? And it has him come to me. And only after he cries with them, only then, look at it, in Pasuk,
Mem-hei. Mempei.
Pasuk Tetvav. Pasuk 15. It's unbelievable. Only it's this year I saw it. The Perek is Perek Memhei.
Okay. Memhei.
What's Memhei?
Memhei.
45.
Memhei.
45 or 35.
But the 45.
And you have to understand, this is after a whole big story. You can go back to the beginning of the parsha. We are quite far away from the beginning of the parsha when Yudah approaches him and the whole story starts with him revealing himself to his brother. Only after all the story, when Vayenashek lekol echav Vayev kalehem Ve'achreichen Dibru echav ito. Until this year, I didn't see this certain moment, and it's the same word. When we go back in history, lo yachlu dabro, and here is dibru. So they stopped talking with him after all his dreams, and the first time that they really talk with him is after.
He cries.
When they realize that not only he doesn't want revenge after this horrible thing they did to him, he loves them, and he really loves them. But he has to convince them that he loves them. Because with the whole story, they don't believe him till
he cries.
Okay. And by the way, does this remind you also something with the meeting of Yaakov and Esau?
Yeah. Also,
Yaakov cries a lot.
But here it's not Yaakov. Here it's son. It's Joseph.
Yeah, but
so it's very interesting to see. And let's see what's happening. Why wouldn't they talk with him after they understand that it is Joseph? Okay. And why do they talk with him after he cries?
Yeah.
Because when he reveals himself, they know now that it's Joseph. Now, as we said, and I want to go back for a minute. So this guy is really the ruler of Egypt. They come to Egypt to look for food. And the other reason is they come to
look for
their father, for their brother. Yep. In other words, they've got this idea to look and find who? Their brother. So if you're looking for something, normally if it will stand in front of you, you will see it because you're looking for it. In other words, not enough he looks like his father and they're looking for him, they don't see. Then he invites them to his palace to have lunch.
In his palace?
For what? After he blames them being spies and nothing ticks. Then he eats kosher. The name of God is on his lips all the time. He knows exactly who is the eldest and who is the youngest.
They said they put them in order. They sit in order.
Then they give them back the money. When they go back, they give them the second time the money. And they don't even check from the first time. It's a lot of unbelievable things. Now, you can say, okay, I can explain this, but can you explain all those things together?
It's very strange.
I'm not talking only about him looking like his father. I'm talking about all this strange story and all the things that happen all the time.
So he was a very special man.
But they have to think, 1 minute, what's going on here? What was the problem with Joseph? Why did we want to kill him? Why did we sell him? Because he had those strange dreams. But now we're looking for him. And the dream is coming true in front of our eyes, but what? We don't want to see it. Because if we see it, it means
it's true.
That we did
wrong.
A terrible thing.
So they don't want it.
But it says, Mane daber mane tzadak. Elohim atzah tavon avadecha.
They must have been in shock.
So yes. Because now they start. So in other words, they realize that something is wrong with what they did.
Right.
But.
And I still think.
Okay, so now we come to Vayigash. What is happening if they really think that they are being blamed for what happened to Joseph? Why is now, only now, Judah approaching Joseph? Why not before? And why is he telling him exactly the same story again that he already told him before? The same thing. We have a father, we have brother, we lived here, blah, 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 blah. The whole same thing. Again? What's happening here? Because, as you said, till this moment they were sure that they are being punished for what?
For killing.
This was all right when they were all being blamed and they were all being punished. Because now what is happening, they found that this cup was in the bag of
Binyamin.
They go back and they tell them, we are all your slaves. Now, what is Binyamin to do with selling Joseph? It's got nothing to do with
it. He wasn't there.
But they tell to themselves, it's because we are together. And you know, when you are... If somebody is with the Rasha and there is a punishment, he's going to suffer. And by the way, that's the way it works. Also, in a generation where they are evil, even the tzaddikim suffer for it. Because they are a part of the generation. But what is Joseph telling them? No, you go home. I want only who?
Did
Binyamin have anything to do with selling him?
No.
Nothing. So he means, now I understand that this is not a punishment. That we were right. And there is no punishment because of Joseph, but this is this guy. He wants just, from his own reason, to do evil to us. So now I can approach him and talk with him, because this is my time to try and defend Binyamin, because this is my job. Till now, he was prepared to be a slave with Binyamin. So what changed his mind?
Because he didn't want
because,
to
by the
Binyamin
way,
though,
because now it's only Binyamin.
She knew
which
that
means
his father would be.
Yeah,
father.
Exactly.
Again.
Which leads us to this unbelievable sentence, I am Joseph, is my father still alive? Because what did they tell him 2 minutes before? If we don't go back with Binyamin, our father
will die.
So he's telling them, 1 minute, my dear brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive after what you did to him? Uh-huh. With selling me? At that time you didn't care about what's going to happen if you come back to our father and tell him, Joseph is not here?
And also, strange.
And this is, they say this is the, let's say this is five words, I think, which is the let's say the hardest rebuke in the Bible. Yeah. In a few words. The whole story, in a few words.
Because he knew he's alive. Yosef knew that his father is alive. So why he's asking them? It's a rebuke. Not
2 minutes ago they told him that he's alive.
But two minutes before it wasn't... As Joseph, he was just asking them about.
Yeah, but he knew.
Yeah, but now he's telling,
now
"I am Joseph."
He's asking them
our
as their brother.
Yeah.
So
this is think about it.
It's a rebuke.
Suddenly they understand what's happening, and that's just to show you that they were sure that they were right all those years. Because when they realize that this is really Joseph, what's happening to them?
They're
thrown off balance.
They fall.
The Midrash says, "Velo yachlu echav la'anoto ki nivalu mipanav."
Yeah,
they were frightened. The Midrash said that they died.
They
got a heart attack. Yes, from understanding what they did, and an angel come and it doesn't matter.
It's the Midrash.
It doesn't matter. It's the Midrash, but it's still. It's
that
to
that
get
kill them.
It's to let us understand
what it's about.
What. When somebody thinks that he lives doing all the good things, all the nice things, he's a tzaddik, and suddenly he realizes not only is not a tzaddik, he's a rasha. And that's why Gadol hamachti'o yoter me'orgo. Our sages say that if you kill somebody, of course, it's not good, but it's better than when you make him sin. Because when you make a guy sin, He is losing both worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. When you kill him, he's only losing this world, but he still gains Olam Haba. So what they did here...
But they didn't kill him.
That's what they did the worst. They sold him to whom?
They sold him to what?
To tzaddikim?
Okay, that was not good.
No. They sold him, let's say. And this is, by the way, the reason also that Yaakov doesn't believe
that he's dead. Because they never...
He knows he's not dead, but when they come and tell him, yes, Joseph is alive and he is the ruler of Egypt, what's the first thing he does? Vayifag libo. He almost gets a heart attack.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Why? Because he says, wow, I'm not enough.
Yeah.
I was afraid that maybe who knows where he is. So he got corrupted. But now he is the king of corruption.
And he doesn't.
He is the king of Egypt.
Yeah.
But they didn't tell him.
And only after he sees the agalot, the wagons, whatever, then he understands that Joseph is not, and they tell him, Joseph is not influenced by Egypt, but he rules Egypt. In other words, he did exactly what, who did before? Yaakov. Im Lavan garti, v'tariyak mitzvot shamarti. In other words, now Yaakov comes to an happy end. Happy end, which means all those worries, all those years, knowing that his son is alive,
and what's happening,
but alive from a physical point of view. But what is it really? Is it really life of a tzaddik, or is it life of a rasha, which means reshaim bechayehem kruim metim?
He's lost. Yeah.
And when this means, that's what he says. Ani ered sheol lesheol. He says, I'm going to go to hell.
Yeah.
Why? Because I was wrong, I didn't do my job right. I didn't give the right tools to Joseph. As you remember, we were talking about it. He took Joseph apart, not because of favoring him more of the others, but because to give him the right tools for him to go through life, because he saw that he's going to go through things in life the same way as he went through. Ele toldot Yaakov Yosef. They are together as one. So, after they come to him and they sell him a beast, eat him, and he sees in Ruach HaKodesh that
something
wrong happened. Chaya Ra'a means something evil. And that's why he is going mourning and mourning all those years. Because he knows that from one side,
he's lost his sense spiritually.
That's what he's frightened. But then when he realizes that, no, it not only didn't lose him, Yosef is a tzaddik. Yosef a tzaddik. With all he went through. And being in this position, imagine to yourself, this guy rules Egypt. It means that he can do whatever he wants. He can have all the joys of life. In the best level, in whatever it is, he can have everything. And it's very tempting. And that was the light of Hanukkah. We all know. We all like and love the good life. We like good food. We like good clothes. We like to travel. We like to do all those good things. And if you have a lot of money, and you have a lot of, let's say you have a lot of power, you can enjoy this life in this world. And it's very tempting. They say why sometimes nisayon ha'osher yoter kasher minisayon ha'oni. The test of richness is much worse, much harder than the test of poor.
Right. Well, if sometimes when money is power,
mm-hmm,
those people who have I'm talking major money, a lot of money, people listen to them. They think that because those other people have money, that
they have power.
They do have it and expect it. Because you can see it in all walks of life. You see it in the politicians.
They say "bala dea u bala mea."
Yeah, right. My mother used to say, "Money talks loud yes. and
money
clear."
So, with all this power,
whatever you want,
and it's very easy to fall.
Oh yes,
very easy. But Joseph doesn't fall. So we have a happy end from the point of view of Yaakov, but not such a happy end from the point of view of the brothers. And this is why it's very hard for Joseph, after he reveals himself, to calm them down and to make them realize that not only he doesn't want revenge, he loves them, and he wants only the best for them. And in so many words, he's trying to bring them closer. A whole big story here.
Not easy for him.
No.
But even then, when Yaakov passed away, they still are afraid of him.
They are more afraid. And I tell you what's happening is, they think that while Yaakov is alive, he's not going to do anything. And by the way, this is one of the biggest questions. Every year we ask this question.
Yeah.
And this is a big question. Hor HaChaim HaKadosh asks this question. 22 years. Joseph doesn't see his father. We can understand that when he was a slave, he couldn't tell his father, "I'm alive." But now, that I think around 9 years, he is already a king of Egypt. Very easy to send a messenger from Egypt to Israel to tell his father, "Father, I am alive. I am alive." Why is he not telling his father, which he loved so much?
Why did he live and he knew?
Why is he not telling him, "I am alive, my father? Come down."
Yeah.
A big question.
No, why not? Why not?
Oh, that's a big question.
That is a big answer.
He had to go through the whole thing with his brother.
Because he was afraid.
He
wasn't even afraid. He knew that what is his father, what's going to be, what is going to be the first question of a father that his son suddenly disappeared, and with all this story with a beast that ate him, and with his clothes with soaked with blood, what's going to be the first question? What happened? Tell me what happened.
Of course. Then he
and then he will have to tell him, "My dear father,
your dear sons
wanted to kill me, and then they decided to sell me." What do you think is going to happen to Yaakov? He's going to lose it. To understand that his sons,
that he's trying to
kill them,
that he thinks that they are tzaddikim, sold their own brother?
No, first they threw him in it.
And wanted to kill him?
Yeah.
So he doesn't say anything. And another interesting point is also afterwards, they don't meet alone.
Who?
Joseph and his father. They're never alone. And he keeps in his palace, and Yaakov keeps in Goshen, and they only meet in certain occasions where there are a lot of other people around, not getting to the point that he and his father are alone, and his father is going to ask the question.
And he needs to answer.
Now, when he dies, the brothers were afraid. Okay, till now, because of our father, he didn't do us anything. But now,
now
he's going to finish us off. That's why they were afraid later on.
And they were justified.
Now, Joseph, by the way, to understand Joseph is very hard. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, that he is not the king eventually, but Judah is the king. Because if we're looking about Judah and Joseph, we would choose definitely Joseph as a Isaac tzaddik. He rules already and he does it beautifully.
But
he keeps his brother and everything. He does all the... This is the real king. And doesn't do any mistakes. Whatever it is, he controls. He is in the middle of the corruption, of the impurity, and he is pure. He is being tempted to all the temptation of this world, and he doesn't go for it. This is it, Sadiq. Yudah, from the other side, sleeps with his daughter-in-law, sells his brother. Not exactly a tzaddik.
No.
But he is being chosen to be the king.
But
why?
But he did own up to his...
What did he do?
He owned up to his... to his.
Not only this. Imagine to yourself...
He did show some integrity.
It's not only this. He... One of the biggest things to do in life is to admit
that you're wrong.
Right. To own up.
By the way, that's the whole story here.
Have the courage.
That's why the brothers don't see Joseph. Because seeing Joseph means we have to admit that we were wrong. But Judah, from the other side, if we go back to this interesting story with Tamar, could have a lot of ways to get out of it without killing Tamar. After she shows him, she gives his things that he left, and says, the guy that owns those things, he slept with me. So he could say, okay, burn her. And everything is finished, nobody knows about it. You know what? He's not going to burn her. He says, okay, she says this, okay, we'll do an investigation, release her, we'll see what's going to be. And it will go like the trials of Netanyahu or all the others for a few years, and then everybody will forget about it. Everything is going to be speak out of the carpet. Or he could say a lot of other things. But what is he doing? He is standing in front of everybody. Satkami men. She is right. I am the one. Meaning, I am the one who slept with my daughter-in-law. Thinking she is a whore, or whatever. How does this look? Terrible!
Admit the truth.
But that's the power of a real king. To admit the mistakes and fixing it. Even if it's going to cost you
Your position,
everything. That's why Judah was chosen to be a king. Okay, but still, we have Joseph HaTzadik, yes. He's so tzadik that we cannot relate to him. So, how can you have a king that is such a tzadik that you cannot have any relation with?
He's too good.
He's too good, yes. He's too good.
Overqualified.
Yes. Yes, yes, exactly.
So what's the name?
And this is also a big lesson for us. If we want to have an influence on other people, we have to understand them.
How to relate to them.
To relate to them. So Judah is the one chosen. Because Judah does mistakes.
And David HaMelech also was able to
get away with murder.
No, get away with murder. But he always admitted whatever it was.
And that is a king. This is why Judah was chosen. But now...
But why was Shaul chosen?
Because we have to understand, there is Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. They are both rulers. That's why I say, the Midrash says, Ine melachim no adu avru yachdav. Talking about this discussion between Joseph and Judah. They are called kings. So I can understand that Joseph, you can call him a king, but he's not a king really. He's only the second. The king is Pharaoh. But to talk about Judah as a king, he's one of the brothers, and he's not even the oldest, and not even the second one, and not even the third one. So what king is he? So we're talking here about spiritual thing. A king is the one who controls his desires, who controls his lust. That's a king. And those are really two kings. But that's what we said.
But he admitted it.
Exactly. So.
And he was prepared.
And tzaddik ba'aretz she'aseh tov ve'lo yechta.
Like David HaMelech.
I know.
Yes, but it's not only David HaMelech.
Then he used to call him the Teflon King.
Judah?
Judah.
Of course. He not only did tshuva, he tried to fix everything, whatever it is. You see, he is the one who is approaching now Joseph. Not Reuven, not Shimon, and not Levi,
which are all,
they are,
which
he is younger than them.
Which also shows character.
It shows,
not shows a, that he's a
genuine.
He's a king.
No, he's got
the problem. He knows that he's got what he's done.
He takes charge.
Right.
He's
take
charge. And but there's also another interesting thing. You look, wherever Yuda is, good things are happening. Because also now, when Joseph reveals himself, who is involved? Yuda. When what happens in Tamar, Yuda is involved. And we see in a lot of places, he takes out also the good out of the people around him. And now, why is he really approaching Joseph to telling the same story again? Because as we said, one reason is, first of all, because he realized that now is the time to fight. It's not because of selling Joseph, it's something else. But there is something else. Because he's telling the story, and when you look at the story, it's really strange. If somebody asks you, okay, why did you come to here? We came to take food. You are spies.
Shame.
Where you come from? We came from this. We have brothers, and one brother is missing. You are spies. It looks like a conversation between two
enemies.
Not two enemies. Two people don't understand each other.
Sounds like Russia with the Israeli girl.
So,
Nama.
Suddenly, Yuda realizes that he's not talking directly to Joseph. He's talking to a translator who translates his things to Joseph. And maybe this translator
is
changing all of the story because he loves Am Israel. It happens. Look at the United Nations, all those ridiculous decisions, and they want now to bring to trial on us, on war crimes. You know, if somebody normal looks at it, he says, this is crazy. But it's written here. It's the same old story. Judah's telling to himself, this guy is Sonei Israel. He hates us. And he is lying to Joseph. That's why he's blaming us for being spies. So I have to approach him and tell him the story, which is the real story. And now you tell me if I'm a spy or not. But 1 minute. If Joseph till now didn't understand the language,
how come
he will understand it now? So what is he saying? Ki hamocha kefaro. You act like Pharaoh. And one of the things that you needed in order to be in control in Egypt,
you knew all the
if you had a high level, like a minister in Egypt, you, one of the requirements of the job was knowing all the languages in the area. In other words, chamocha kefaro. Don't tell me you don't understand Hebrew. You understand it, because this is one of the demands of your job. Exact the same thing as the demands from Pharaoh. So Pharaoh knows all the languages, you also have to know. So I'm going to tell you the story. And also think about it, that it must be a big hall, and Joseph sitting in one side of the hall, and they sitting on the other, standing on the other side, because they wouldn't let them go near him. And the translator is really asking them. They tell him, he goes to Joseph. So now who is Vayigash? He approaches him. And he tells him, Ki chamocha kefaro, in order to calm down the things, and also to explain them the whole story. And then when Joseph hears the story, he cannot stand it anymore. He says, okay, I'm Joseph. And then this unbelievable rebuke, after, you know, it gets to him, this my dear brother that sold me is telling me about the sorrow of the father and what's going to happen to his father if he's not going to come back with Binyamin. Where was he? Where were all those worries 22 years ago when you wanted to kill me and sold me? Aod Avichai? Is my father still alive?
But Yosef and Benjamin were both from
Rachel.
Right.
Yes.
And they did. You know, they were both sons from the same mother.
Yeah, yeah.
That, and father.
Beloved,
so,
and
the beloved Rachel. She was the real.
And then, what is happening? They got the fright of their life. And he has. Look at Joseph. He's trying so hard to convince them that he really loves them. And he tells them, ולא יכלו אחיו לענות רוקים ויום עושה בלחיו, קשו נא אליי. Come near to me.
Come close.
Come close. See me. You never got close to me. You think I hate you? You think all the dreams I dreamt I was telling you because I hate you, because I want to rule and control you? No! I love you. ויאמר אני יוסף אחיכם. I'm your brother. You sold me to Egypt. Don't be sad. אל תעצבו. Why? כי למחיה שלך אני אלוקים לפניכם. God sent me here for you.
Before you.
That now, after the famine, I'm going to give you food. I'm going to provide everything for you. כי זה שנתיים הרב בקרב הארץ. 2 years for is famine in the land. ועוד, and it's going to be 5 years more. וישלחני אלוקים לפניכם לשום לכם שרית בארץ להחיות לכם לפתתה גדולה. Okay, enough. You explained yourself. Now, in Shlishi, goes on. And now I want to make it clear. You didn't send me here. Who sent me here?
Hashem.
God sent me here. You're just messengers. And why am I here? וישימני לאב לפרעו ולאדון לכל ביתו. In other words, not only you didn't do wrong, you did the best thing that can be. You remember the story I told you about this king with the diamond that had a scratch. And he asked all the professionals, all the jewelers, what can I do? And they told him, sorry. Scratch, the only thing you can do, you cut it to two, you have 2 diamonds. But when you have 2 diamonds, it's not even worth 20% of what the big one is always worth. Because he had a really big one, it was his prime. And then comes this clever guy, tells him, 1 minute, I'm going to fix it, don't worry. Not only I'm going to fix it, I'm going to make it
more.
It's going to worth double from what it's now. So the king looks at him, I'm a shigenel. And then he said, I'll tell you how I'm doing it. He says, you see the scratch? I'm going to scratch it even more. The king says, this guy is really crazy. No, not only he's got a scratch, he's going to scratch it more and it's going to double the value. But this guy is really crazy. He says, no, you don't understand, my dear king. Look, I'm going to scratch it in a certain way that I'm going to engrave in it your crown. Now you will have a special stone
With your crown
engraved into it. Nobody's got a stone like this. So is it going to cost less or double? And that's what Joseph is telling the brothers. Don't worry. You scratch me? You think you scratch me, but see what's happening from this scratch. I become the king.
You see, he hugs his Benjamin first.
Yeah, because he's like, Benjamin's
my brother.
Yeah, of course.
What's his other brother?
And then and only then, and all this
he
is not
changed.
All this is not, it's not helping. Only after he died crying and everything, then they start talking with him.
Did he, when Benjamin was born, he never knew Benjamin, did he?
No,
he was already.
No, he knew Benjamin. He was a baby, but he knew him.
He was a baby.
Yeah.
His mother died.
His mother died on the way.
At birth.
Yeah, on the way. So, in other words, of course, he knew him.
Oh, the story happened there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Benjamin has 10 sons, and he gave the names all related with Joseph.
Yes.
The sons
he had, all the names were connected to what happened to Joseph.
Joseph, really?
Yes.
Yes.
10 sons?
Yes.
He had a minion.
Benjamin
had 10 sons, and each name was connected to something with the story with Joseph.
Wow.
That's why I tried to convince my son. Yeah.
There is this. Another important point that we have to understand. There's another point that we have to understand about Joseph. Because really, let's understand how this guy goes through all of this smiling and being happy. Because The Torah tells us.
He wasn't so. He cried.
You cry from happiness.
And
now this guy is going through hell, really going through hell. He's being thrown to a pit. He's being sold to the Egyptians. He's being again thrown into the pit. He's being a slave.
But he just accepted everything.
He not only accepted because it says that God was with him all the time. And God is with no one that is sad. God only revealed himself to somebody who is happy. So it means he was happy all those years. How is it? This is a story I think I told you in the past also. This is very, it's a very good story. So I have to tell it again.
No problem.
We don't mind.
This guy sits in a restaurant in New York. Fancy restaurant. Very expensive. Everything is the best. And the smells of the food, wow, unbelievable. And he waits to order the food, and suddenly he sees this Jew sitting two tables near him. And he really doesn't love Jews. He hates Jews. Now, this is an intelligent place, a fancy restaurant. You cannot just go to the guy and hit him or curse him. Doesn't work this way. So I think, what can I do? So he calls the waiter. Here, I want you to give everybody a free portion of ice cream. He says, everybody? 35 people. Not 35. Except this one. Only 34. But you know, every portion of ice cream is $40. No problem. I'm paid. So, 34 people in the restaurant are getting ice cream, and the Jew is not getting anything. So he looks at the Jew, he's smiling. He's getting more aggravated. Says, bottle of wine, how much? Says, $150. $150, yes. 34 bottles of wine to everybody, not to this. So, they go on, and everybody's drinking wine, enjoying, and the Jew, smiling. So he's getting really aggravated now. He calls the waiter. I want you to give everybody a filet mignon. Filet mignon, this is $250 a pork. I'm paying. Just this guy, you don't give him anything. So everybody's getting now filet mignon. He looks at the Jew, and the Jew is not only enjoying himself, he's smiling like this. He couldn't stand it anymore. He gets up and comes to Jesus. I want to ask you a question. I insulted you with the ice cream. Then I insulted you with a bottle of wine. Then I insulted you with the main course, with the filet mignon. Uh-huh. And you are still smiling? Says, what's getting it? I am the owner of the restaurant. And that's life. So Joseph knows all the time, I've got this dream. This is not a dream, just it's a prophecy. I'm going to be king. So has he got any reason to be sad? He's happy because he knows that every stage, like it looks like he's in the pit, but he knows it's going to lead where?
To the top.
Highest place they can be. And this is each one of us. We are kings. We are the sons, children of the king. Melech Malchei Amlachim. We are princes. And when we realize it, whatever happens to us, we know it's only for the best. To get to the moment of the Geula, to get to the moment that we are going to rise up on top of everything. This is what has to lead us. It's very hard to relate, really, to relate to Joseph. But we have to relate to Joseph and also to Judah. That's why they are called Melachim, two kings. Because sometimes we have to take the side of Joseph and sometimes the side of Judah. And by the way, it's very interesting that in the Galut, we are Bnei
Yosef.
Ephraim, which is the son of Joseph. In the Galut is Bet Yosef. And then Mashiach ben David. First of all, it's Ben Yosef, because in the Galut, in the Diaspora, we have to behave like Yaakov and Yosef. Ele toldot Yaakov Yosef. This is our job. To fight against all odds, all difficulties. But when Be'ezrat Hashem will get to the Mashiach Zeit, Mashemikra, what's called, then we will be like Yuda. We will understand that now, because we are no more in a war, with a fight with our enemies from the outside, we still have enemies inside, which is our desires and other things. And sometimes we will fall. But then Yuda is there to tell us, okay, nothing happened. Do tshuva. Everything is okay. Our Father in heaven loves us. So in other words, in life, we have to learn from both. Mm-hmm. So the big lesson here is that from one side, this Od Avi Chai is something that has to stand in front of our eyes to realize what is important and what is less important. I write this Shabbos about, I saw in a paper, unbelievable thing, that Steve Jobs, that's his name, yes?
Yeah.
He wrote before he died. He thought, and it's unbelievable. When he realizes that all the money and all the everything in this world is nothing. And it really, we don't need him to tell us. The Torah is telling it to us. But unfortunately, we still don't see it always in the eyes of the Torah. And that was those light of Hanukkah. And the whole idea of the light of Hanukkah is that we will take this light and drag it into the year to light our eyes, to understand and realize what is the darkness and what is the light. And not be so influenced by all our desire. Yes, we are not angels. We are human beings. We're going to do mistakes. En tzadik ba'aretz yaseh tov ve'lo yechta. But we have to look at Yuda. See the right light and do the right thing. We did a mistake. Let's try and fix it. We'll do another mistake. Okay. We'll try and fix it. As long as we understand what is the important part of life and what is the less important part, we are on the right way. But if we will take the possessions and the money and the physical world and the materialistic world as our most important thing, we are doomed. That's Tarbut Yavan. That's the Greeks. We have to understand that there is only one way to see the truth. The truth is to see it through the eyes of the Torah. Because who created us? Who gave us everything? God. So the only way to see the right picture is like today, we were talking about worries. In the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, a whole thing about worries. What is worry? What is it all about? The first thing is, if I want to learn about it, there is one source I have to look at. And that's the Torah. Because this is the only source that can give me the right point of view. Because otherwise, if I'm going to judge myself, and the only thing that I know is me, and I look only from my point of view, this is not the right way. Because I will do what the brothers of Joseph did. I will see what I want to see, and what I don't want to see, I won't see. And what is straight will look for me like crooked, and what is crooked will look straight. And this is like the same story with this drunk guy that the police is arresting him. And you know, at that time, we didn't have this, they call it yanchuf. This is like you put it on the mouth and you know if this guy is drunk or not. At that old times, they used to
walk a straight line
and tell him to walk through the line. And if he walked through the line, okay. And if he fall or went to the side,
then he was drunk.
He was drunk and he was arrested. So they stopped this drunk guy and he's come out like he's really drunk. Mm-hmm. Says, "You're drunk." Says, "I'm drunk? Mapito. I'm not drunk. I'm sober, 100%. Says, "Okay." They draw the line. Says, "Okay, walk through the line." Says, "Okay, first of all, straighten the line." So that's exactly the point. if you look it from your eyes and you don't see the real picture, so what is crooked looks straight and what's straight looks crooked. So there is one way to see it. And this is looking at our parsha and see what's happening when you sometimes have something in your mind and it's so strong stuck in your mind that you cannot see anything else.
And you mustn't be
to look and see. Sometimes in life you have to stop and see, am I in the right way? Am I still going straight? Or maybe I am a little drunk from this beautiful life around me. Which looks beautiful from the outside, but not from the inside.
There's a teacher, and I had a principal who, when a child did something wrong, he would say to the child, did you do the right thing? And that would, then he and the child would have a whole discussion. I'm telling you, this of course reminds me, did I do the right thing? It worked with the children amazingly well. There was no punishment, but there was a discussion, and children are usually pretty honest.
Yeah.
It was amazing to allow them to defend themselves.
No, it's that's exactly the point, because you see that when you attack things in a positive way, you get a positive answer. If you attacking, what are you going to do? No.
Everybody becomes defensive.
Everybody is in his own corner. He doesn't go out of his corner. Be'ezrat Hashem, we will try and learn from Yehuda and Joseph to see the right things in the right eye. And if we do a mistake, we'll try and correct it.